Three, two, one.
Welcome back to the Anyone Can Run podcast, the podcast for those new members of the running community who want to knock out their first race, whether it's a 5K, full marathon, or anything in between. I am your host, True Bros, aka Gabe, aka the adult who pays taxes and has a 401k, but also owns a $200 lightsaber, and I am an NCCA certified personal trainer, gamer, and sneakerhead who specializes in helping clients reach their health and fitness goals. This podcast is a blend of motivational words, a chronicle of my running, my personal journey on the road to Gainesville, some poor attempts at humor, but above all, it's the place where we cover the marathon mindset, the running routines, and everything else you need to know to help you absolutely dominate your first race. Last time on Anyone Can Run, we discussed how one of the greatest lessons I personally learned from running is consistency and discipline, which is why all human beings who are physically capable should run a full marathon at least once in their lives. If our ultimate goal is to complete our first marathon in the upright position, knowing we need to tackle that distance on a specific date in the not-too-distant future means we've always something tangible to look forward to. If you're like me and are a procrastinator and have a bit of a short attention span, having a date on the calendar you know you need to prepare for gives you something to stay focused on. While I've no problem working out every day, or pretty much every day, I for one have always struggled with the feeling of stagnation, even though I am acutely aware this is entirely in my head. I need to feel like I'm working towards something, as opposed to just maintaining. The training cycle for my first marathon helped me develop the consistency and discipline I lacked for years. However, that feeling of light at the end of the tunnel, which was my first race, was something I look forward to immensely. As I look back on my training overall for the past few years, I've noticed a trend I'm not particularly fond of. Whenever there was a race to look forward to, not only did my consistency slightly trend upward, and I'm quantifying this by my running an extra day or a week or so, because, you know, to me that means I was training more, but I regularly performed runs over the 4-mile mark whenever there was a race on the calendar. I reference this not because I expect all of you, new members of the running community, to knock out extended runs around the clock, but because I personally love the 6 to 8 mile distance. I feel like it's a little longer than I do normally, but still comfortable enough to not feel drained afterwards. So it's personally a distance I'd like to tackle at least once a month, really ideally 2 or 3 times. We've discussed in many episodes how important it is to track all of your runs for a litany of reasons, namely to keep yourself honest and to be able to see your physical progress. For the purposes of today's conversation, I'm using the data gathered over the course of the past couple years, and I can absolutely see whenever I was not in between races and was running just for the fun of it. While my goal has always been to keep myself feeling healthy and strong, I wasn't pounding the pavement with the same level of focus I wanted to. Today, we're going to discuss how to approach training when you've no race on the calendar, including coming up with a plan that works for your schedule and fitness level, while also trying to position ourselves as being perpetually quote-unquote race-ready. If you're a new member of the running community who wants to complete their first race, and I assume you absolutely are since you found our little slice of the internet here, naturally, your goal should be to cross the finish line in the upright position. However, we're all multifaceted human beings, and running races and racking up bling isn't the only thing that matters in our lives. Running is just a single part of our identities. However, depending upon your personality, it could be a small part or something integral to who you are. Whenever I'd partner with a new client to help them get started on their journey on the road to Gainesville, the first conversation we have is always about setting goals. For my clients who are all about pounding the pavement, the goals tend to be focused on getting faster, running further, or depending upon their fitness level, literally just running continuously for longer periods of time. Don't think just because you can't run more than 2 minutes at a time that you're not a runner, nah. And for those who want to get into resistance training, The goals were always pretty similar, whether it's doing more reps, lifting heavier, or even just doing their first unassisted push-up or pull-up, which I will say to this day, the only thing that I am as proud of that gave me that same sense of satisfaction that I got from crossing the finish line of my first race was doing my first unassisted pull-up. It's an amazing feeling. If you can't do them, for whatever reason, that's fine, but let's start training so you can get that same feeling, because, oh baby, it just hits different. As a personal trainer, when my end goal was to, you know, make money, when I was taking clients regularly, I loved hearing goals such as these. These hard and fast numeric goals allowed me to form a baseline dictated by their current fitness level, factoring in their predilections toward working out and our frequency with which we were meeting, and I'd come up with a plan specialized to their needs and their wants and what they enjoyed doing. The gamer in me always loved doing this because it's like a customized problem to be solved, and I love stuff like that. However, as a human being who is a personal trainer, my hope and goal for those I got to know and worked with was always to have them not need me. I know that sounds counterintuitive, and we've dove into this at length in a previous episode, but I realize that I'm coming at this perspective with something that's very fortunate and pretty uncommon. I positively adore talking health and fitness and helping others build the self-confidence and discipline which comes with improving both. However, it's never been my primary source of income. That's what I mean when I'm saying I was in a fortunate position. It's always been a supplemental thing for me. And as someone who loves content creation, over the years my focus has shifted towards wanting to show there isn't necessarily a stark divide between those who play video games for hours on end and those who run marathons. Those can be one and the same. As a result, my focus over the past few years has been providing kind of my own brand of edutainment towards the young gamers of the world when I would live stream video games and constantly discuss working out. I've always wanted to foster those conversations about living a healthy and fit lifestyle because I vehemently believe it's a worthwhile conversation to have. I know one day I'll sit down and I'll write out scripts for a modern Mr. Rogers web series focused on gaming and providing a safe space for the young gamers to learn the things I wish I'd known when I was their age. But until I finally decide to buckle down and do it, I'm going to be here creating podcasts and occasionally live streaming gameplay on YouTube. I give this context so you can get an idea of where I'm coming from when I say my goal is to have my clients not need me. Not because I don't want to work with them, I absolutely do. But because in a perfect world, we'd all be living healthy and fit lifestyles around the clock. We'd all have the mental discipline and knowledge both of our own biology and workout techniques to stave off all of those diseases which research has shown to be correlated and or caused by poor levels of overall health and fitness. I'm not a medical professional, and I'm certainly not the kind of person who's going to go around and body shame people because I ain't about that life. But as someone who grew up without a staunch emphasis on overall physical health and fitness, I, for one, want to see the young guns out there live a healthy and fit lifestyle. And obviously not just the younglings, I want to see everybody doing it. I want that for my clients, many of which I would typically work with for about 3 to 6 months. My hope in the short time period where I would work with them is that I can address any questions they may have, show them ways to exercise safely, and most importantly, hopefully, instill the sense of discipline and or intrinsic motivation they need to continue to live a healthy and fit lifestyle once our working relationship comes to an end. It took me a long time to develop this myself, and it only happened when I was in the process of and after completing my first marathon. Obtaining my personal training certification was a means for me to not only develop the necessary knowledge and credentials, but a way for me to impart this knowledge to people directly on a one-to-one basis, to see that develop and to help them reach their goals. I know now that I'm looking at how long we've been recording, this has become a bit of a history lesson on yours truly, but this is the reason I continue to create this content. I've personally never believed it's useful for someone to tell me this is how you do this and why you need to. As someone who's always admittedly been a bit of a know-it-all, I don't have any interest in being told the way things are. For me, It's much more beneficial to see the thought process behind a decision, to see how someone reached a conclusion. Whether it's the same conclusion I would have reached or not is irrelevant. For me, it's all about understanding the thought process which got someone to a certain point. This is why I detail my own experiences and thought processes to the level that I do, so you can then use these as examples. And whether you're coming from a similar place or somewhere diametrically opposed, the hope is you can at least see how I got to where I was. A big reason my focus with training clients has always been centered on them getting to a point where they no longer require my services is because it took me forever to develop the discipline I now possess. However, just like we mentioned at the top of the episode, as I'm going back and reviewing the data I've accrued as I've logged more and more miles without a race on the calendar, I'm seeing, even though I'm still working out, I'm not necessarily doing it at the volume or the frequency that I'd like. This is to show, even if you fall off the wagon like I have many a time over the years, it's quite alright. There's no point getting upset or frustrated with yourself or your performance. In the long run, the only thing that detracts from you is your frame of mind. The marathon mindset is a powerful thing which takes time to cultivate. So there's no benefit in getting upset if you know the past 2 weeks haven't been the most productive. I know our conversation is bouncing around a little bit, and that's bound to happen from time to time, so let's steer this train back on the tracks. My personal motivation has always come from being focused on the next thing, whether that's a vacation, a race, the upcoming weekend, whatever. I'm always looking forward to the next thing, whether it's something short or long term. This wouldn't be much of an episode if I was just like, well, guys, now I'm just going to go work out every day, so go do that and you'll be fine. And really, it'd be dishonest at any rate. Fortunately isn't the correct word, because nothing about a pandemic is fortunate, but it's interesting that we now live in a world where the temporary normal or temporary abnormal, and it remains to be seen just how long that temporary moniker will exist, but I digress. Whatever the normal is now is not centered around big races with flashy expos and crossing the finish line, as at least for the race experience. That's interesting to me because for so long I was fixated on the entire race experience. That atmosphere was something I enjoyed being around immensely. And even though I wasn't always the biggest fan of being immersed in it, I was a staunch advocate for others getting involved and trying it out for themselves. Believe it or not, the aspect of my personality which wants specific goals to look forward to has not changed at all. As such, I've begun to focus on other shorter-term goals to help me stay focused and disciplined despite not having a race on the calendar. Now, that's not to say I'm still not looking forward to races. As you can imagine, my previous disdain for virtual races has now evolved into a full-blown love and appreciation for them. So if you haven't signed up for the Rock and Roll Marathon Virtual Running Club, which is absolutely free and does not require a credit card or anything to sign up, if you still want to have that big milestone run to look forward to, I wholeheartedly recommend signing up. Races take place every weekend and consist of varying distances. So if you still want that feeling of competing against yourself and the clock, which is really what all of us should be focusing on during a race anyways, I'd reckon that's a pretty solid proxy. I certainly don't want to just gloss over the concept of a virtual race. However, we've discussed them at length previously, and today's episode is all about focusing your mind and continuing to train when you've no race on the calendar. So I think it's appropriate, for the sake of today's conversation, to acknowledge virtual races exist and are awesome, but we're operating under the assumption you've zero interest in them. No races at all. While it's very easy to say, develop discipline and go work out, and keep training and yada yada, we want to be pragmatic. Especially if our temporary abnormal consists of staying indoors, working out in and around our homes, and we're not really traveling or having the daily changes in scenery we may be accustomed to, it's important for us to find different ways to stay motivated and excited about maintaining and improving our health and fitness. I, for one, cannot stand being in the kitchen. So the idea of setting any sort of goals around cooking or meal prepping is pretty much a non-starter for me. I still cook every now and then. I used to do it regularly out of necessity. However, I've now begun experimenting with prepared meals. I bring this up because shifting your focus toward other goals which are related to and absolutely have an impact on your running, such as your diet or how you rest and recover, can help break up the mental monotony of having to run the same routes over and over like I have, and I'm sure many of you have, for the past 4 months or so. Besides, really paying attention to how you're fueling yourself is something that should never be overlooked. As I'm not a certified nutritionist or dietitian, I think it'd be improper for me to say, here's what you should eat and all that jazz. So instead, I'll briefly mention what I used to tell clients and then illustrate how it doesn't really correlate to what I'm doing day to day because, hey, honesty is the best policy. I would always tell my clients it'd be professionally irresponsible for me to tell them what to eat. However, I would absolutely tell them when to eat when you're training with me, and that's every 3 hours. I tell them this because more often than not, they were brand new to the whole keeping track and being cognizant of what they're eating thing, and I didn't want to overwhelm them. By telling them to eat every 3 hours, they could focus on smaller meals and would never allow themselves to get super hungry, which I know is a feeling I can't stand, because if the tummy is rumbling, something fierce, I'm liable to make poor decisions of the fast food and alcohol variety. Over the past few weeks, I've settled into a bit of a routine as it comes to eating, and I'll break it down for you. If I'm scheduled to do a run that morning, which I can't stand running in the morning, but when it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit most of the time during the day, I'm going to defer to running in the AM. So if I'm scheduled to run that morning, I'm waking up around 5:45, I'm either having water and then maybe a tiny bit of coffee, and then I'm going out and racking up a few miles. I'm then coming back, drinking more coffee and water, and then showering before settling into work mode. You know, when I was in my early 20s and was just beginning to learn about macronutrients and how to properly fuel for the day, there was it ever a day I skipped breakfast, I felt absolutely atrocious. I want to say I was around 19 or so when I was on the rowing team in college, and we'd have practice from like 5:15 to 7:30 a.m. or something like that. I had my first class at 9, so normally I would shower, eat, and then go to class. I remember when people would tell me they wouldn't eat breakfast, it would just blow my mind, as I always felt terrible when I didn't start the day with something solid. However, now, even if I'm running 4 or 5 miles or doing weights or shadow boxing or whatever first thing in the morning, I just do not feel like eating, so I don't. A trap I used to fall into back in the day was eating if I wasn't hungry, whether it be post-workout or because the wife and I were going out to dinner or whatever. And as a result, I'd pack on unnecessary pounds and not feel as comfortable as I should have or that I wanted to. As such, I'm not doing that anymore. And given that I'm primarily consuming prepared meals once or twice a day or, chicken or something that I made for myself, I've really begun focusing on what I'm consuming. I'm also counting calories to ensure I'm operating at a caloric deficit because I've noticed over the past month or so, while I've gotten real lackadaisical with my running, primarily due to the excruciating Texas heat and my preference to run in the afternoon, which means I can't run as fast or as long as I'd like, I've noticed that I'm feeling a little heavier than I'm comfortable with. To help me have something to be focused on, I've been experimenting with finding which foods help me feel full throughout the day, keep me feet from eating late into the evening, which has always been a big problem of mine, right? It's 11 p.m., I'm awake. It's like, well, I could eat something, which is not good. And perhaps most importantly, I'm looking for foods that help me feel strong, confident, and light when I'm out racking up miles. For me, it's always been about feeling healthy and strong. And in the past, when I've counted calories, there were some times I wasn't consuming enough protein or carbs, and I wouldn't feel strong when I was working out. We've covered this at length in multiple previous episodes, but it bears repeating here. Pay attention to what your body is telling you. If you don't feel optimal, and I mean like you're strong and ready to go at a moment's notice, go through a mental inventory of the past week and make sure you're knocking out the essentials. Make sure you're getting adequate sleep. You're hydrated out of your mind. You're consuming an appropriate number of calories and getting adequate fat, protein, and carbohydrates. And if you see you're lacking in one or more of those areas, make the necessary improvements. Personally, I am very big on going off feeling. And if something feels wrong, and or you feel heavy, or like you can't focus, or like you're low on energy, or like you're mentally and or physically sluggish, reevaluate how each of the aforementioned have been over the past week or the past few days. A benefit for those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to work or operate out of the comfort of our own homes means there's no reason to not pay extra attention to how we're doing physically. And I, for one, have kind of supplemented the focus I used to give to the next thing on the calendar, such as the next race or the next vacation, to how I'm fueling and hydrating. Counting calories, trying different foods while staying under my caloric limit, trying to see how I feel when working out in the morning versus the afternoon or evening, and experimenting with how much water I drink to try and feel full later in the day has become sort of a daily game for me, which has led to me feeling great. As I'm personally accustomed to fixating on the next place I'm going, like the store this weekend or whatever, having a daily goal that varies based on the different meals and time of day I'm consuming has become a great focus for me, or a mental distraction. It also helps me stay focused on my personal longer-term goal of losing weight. I'd recommend trying a few different things with your fuel over the next few weeks so you can help your running on a fundamental level. Being cognizant of how you fuel, and perhaps most importantly, how your body responds to what you put into it, can be a great way to improve your workout performance without having to actually go out and pound the pavement. This is a bit of an anecdote, but if you think about it, dang near everything in our little corner of the internet is, so I don't think that should come as a big surprise. I relayed this story in a previous episode about how last October I decided to run a half marathon with literally 36 hours notice. While I was in the process of quote-unquote preparing for the Las Vegas half marathon the next month, at that point, I've been regularly exercising and fueling appropriately, so I thought, why not? I've run multiple half marathons in the past, and this one is local and not very expensive, so let's get involved. This is more of an end goal of consistent training. But because I'd been operating in a state of perpetual preparedness, try saying that three times fast, I felt confident that I could tackle that mileage without having completed a traditional training cycle for that race. I don't relay that little story to flex and be like, oh, look at me, I'm so cool. But because this is the sort of flexibility you can afford yourself if you're in a disciplined mindset of constantly maintaining and improving your overall health and fitness. Do you need to be able to run a half or full marathon with little to no notice? No, of course not. But it is pretty nice to build that level of confidence in both your mental and physical abilities to be able to do so, don't you think? We recently covered, while I vehemently believe with every fiber of my being, every human, not just psychomaniac members of the running community, need to complete a full marathon at least once in their life. While there are obvious physical benefits to exercising regularly, and I'd reckon distance running is one of the more approachable forms of quote-unquote intense exercise, the primary reason I argue every human being needs to complete a full 26.2 miles is the benefits it has on your mindset. You realize what you're capable of when you're deep into a marathon training cycle, and getting to see the pomp and circumstance associated with the traditional race day experience is truly just icing on the cake. Knowing you're capable of developing the discipline to stick to a training plan focused on running, even if you're someone brand new to pounding the pavement, does wonders for your mental work ethic and confidence, which can yield benefits in a number of areas, I'd argue, the least important of which is related to your actual running. I know it sounds like we might be getting off track, but you've got to bear in mind that training is absolutely a mental task. Running and lifting and riding bikes and all that is physical exercise. However, we as healthy and fit individuals who identify as runners aren't just exercising when we go out for a run. We are training, and there's a substantial difference. There's a reason today's episode isn't called Running When No Race Is On The Calendar, because that's most of society who engages in the physical activity of running. We as runners are constantly striving toward a concrete short-term and long-term goal. And every time we go out and pound the pavement, what we're doing is in service of each of those two goals. What those goals are entirely yours to decide and commit to. But I'd argue that the difference between just running and being in constant quote-unquote training is the mindset you approach your workouts with. To be clear, because I am a certified personal trainer and I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to give random advice, an actual training cycle is designed to help you improve your performance over the course of it and should be structured so you're physically peaking on the day of your event. So I'm not saying you're going to be completing endless training plan after training plan, although, I mean, you absolutely could if that's your prerogative. Rather, I'd argue as those who carry the marathon mindset, we're approaching our workouts with the same diligence and discipline we would if we had a race just around the corner. But I realize if you're new and you haven't yet had the opportunity to run an actual race yet, you may not have that frame of reference that I'm alluding to. So let's break it down a little bit. What does it mean to train for something? Put simply, it means to commit and prepare. Even if we don't have a race we're preparing for, we still have goals as they relate to our health and fitness, which can be accomplished by running that should not be ignored. Deciding what those goals are and how you can best achieve them should be something inherently personal and should be something that you want to achieve for you. I could say all day, hey, you need to improve your minute per mile pace by a minute, and you also need to lose 10 pounds, and you should do both of those in the next 2 months, or something, right? I could just give you arbitrary goals, but why? Would you actually do it? Ignoring the fact that you may already be an Olympian-level speedster who doesn't need to lose weight, what do those goals mean to you? I mean, they don't mean a dang thing, because you didn't come up with them. And as a result, that makes it much more difficult to be focused on actually achieving them. I've worked with clients who wanted to lose weight after a discussion with their medical professional. I've trained clients who wanted to time qualify for the Boston and/or New York marathons. I've worked with people who wanted to look better in the photos they were going to take at a wedding in 4 months. These were their end goals. And together we came up with a list of specific short-term goals which would help us reach them. The reason every conversation I had with a client was about goal setting wasn't just so I could find out their interests and build a workout plan around that, although that was certainly part of it. It's because even though I'm only a personal trainer, not a medical professional, I vehemently believe it's my professional duty to help these individuals reach their goals. And it's never just about how fast we are or how much we can lift. It's always because we have something personal to us that truly means something. And the sooner we verbalize, internalize, or at the very least, acknowledge what those reasons are, it makes things exponentially easier on both of us. Training is an integral component of the marathon mindset. We want to feel as if we're constantly working towards a goal. And it doesn't need to be something as tangible as a race on the calendar. But if we don't have one, we want to identify what the heck we're working towards. Training leads to preparation. And I want you to be prepared like your Scar from The Lion King. But you know, without the whole dark side spin on this. I personally believe too often, training is conflated with exercise. And of course, when we're talking about being ready to tackle our first race, exercise is essential. But I've always felt that training is a mindset. Being ready to put in the work and to stick to a training plan and to make exercise an essential part of your day, like eating, showering, or going to work. To me, at least, that's the real training. If you've never worked with real athletes, and I mean people who are either at the professional level or on the cusp of it, they are psychomaniacs. They have a consistency and a discipline which is unparalleled. And this is most likely attributable to my own consistency, which I mentioned at the top of our conversation, took me a long time to come up with. However, while we will undoubtedly at some point deal with injuries or be so preoccupied with work or family obligations, we are unable to run, we still need to be able to train, to work towards a goal of a different type that isn't necessarily tied to physical strength and conditioning. And this is where our marathon mindset becomes invaluable. If we approach our running in between races as constantly being in a state of preparedness, then I'd argue we're getting way more out of running than just sweat-dripped, bling earned, and miles logged. Discipline, dedication, work ethic, and most importantly, the ability to mentally focus aren't natural things. These are skills you develop over time and with experience. Some people may be more maniacal than others, but everyone can develop these as long as you're cognizant of the fact that you're constantly training and not just running. The more you put into yourself, the more you get back, and not just in terms of your physical strength and conditioning. Running for me has always been a means to an end, a lens through which I can view the possibilities for me to become the best version of myself I can. It's never just about logging the miles. It's about the mindset behind each step, the readiness to lace up those shoes before the sun is out, and the willingness to prioritize what's most important to you. Whether that be a hobby such as creating content, your work performance, or your overall health and fitness. Just because you don't have a race on the calendar doesn't mean you can't train. It just means you're training for something bigger than a piece of bling. I appreciate you spending some time with me today, and I hope you're seeing what I see, that truly anyone can run. We drop new episodes every other Monday, so make sure you smash that subscribe button. And before I forget, allow me to send a shout out to my man Atomic Messiah, that's his gamer tag, that's his PSN name, whatever you want to call it, for sending the mic that I've used to record this and our previous episode. He thought that I deserved something a little more upgraded than what I've been using for years to create content. So big shout out, much obliged, my man. If you've ever got questions or ideas for a topic you'd like covered in a future episode, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at AnyoneCanRunPod. If you enjoy Anyone Can Run, notify a fellow runner or someone who wants to kick off their journey on the road to Gainesville so we can all help one another reach our goal of living a healthy and fit lifestyle. It also helps when you leave a quick rating and review in your podcast app of choice to help us reach our goal of dominating the charts. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anyone Can Run podcast, and if you did, don't forget to pound that subscribe button. If you didn't enjoy it, well, you get what you pay for, and regardless, I look forward to seeing you on the road to Gainesville.